Question of Balance with your host, Ruth Coplin. In the first hour of the show, we ask questions that matter, discussing topics with local relevance and global significance. And now, here's your host for It's a Question of Balance, Ruth Coplin.
Welcome to the show. And if you listen regularly, you know this is a two-hour show in which we're trying to explore whether we have more in common than divides us. If this is your first time listening, you might like to know that in the first hour, we ask questions that matter. We don't do politics, we avoid politics and try to dive into the deeper, timeless issues underlying politics, current events and our daily lives. And then in the second hour, we balance the intellectual with the creative by featuring local, national and international guests from the arts. And the show combines a debate topic with an arts interview because I feel discussion and creativity are two of the most vital ways that we engage with the world. It's all a question of balance. If you want to find out more information about the show, you can go to the website, itsaquestionofbalance.com, and you can hear podcasts of all my past shows there. We've had some very good guests, some interesting topics, so you could check that out. And you can also connect with me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. So again, the show website is itsaquestionofbalance.com. And also wanted to remind you about the release of the It's a Question of Balance music EP. If you like the show theme tune and incidental music during the show, you can now hear the full songs. There's a button you can click on the homepage of itsaquestionofbalance.com saying listen to show music, or you can go straight to iTunes and search It's a Question of Balance music. So go along, have a listen, and if you like what you hear, you can support the show by purchasing tracks, which would be great. So who do we have coming up in the second hour tonight as this week's special guest from the arts? This week, I'm pleased to be interviewing internationally renowned, award-winning filmmaker Nico von Glasau. Born in Cologne, Nico studied at New York University and the Film Academy in Poland. He's made a lot of different films, all of them very interesting in different ways, and they've won numerous awards and been shown at festivals around the world. One of his films, Nobody's Perfect, Nico convinced 11 fellow victims of thalidomide to pose for a nude calendar and documented the whole process. And the film's worldwide success gave Nico an opportunity to meet with politicians and journalists, and this campaign resulted in the German government increasing compensation to surviving victims of thalidomide in Germany. So very inspiring film that I'm looking forward to talking to him later. Now, what have we got coming up this hour? Well, for questions that matter this week, we're considering, with the holidays coming up, what is the nature of a true gift? And the purpose of questions that matter, which we do in the first half of the show, is to try and ask questions that make us think. And I'm not trying to find a definitive answer. It's more about trying to start a conversation, to think around a subject, maybe make you think about something you wouldn't have thought about otherwise, think about it in a different way perhaps. And I go out into the local community on our Out and About feature and interview people on the street. And again, I'm not trying to sort of equally weight opinion. I interview people, and what they have to say is what they have to say. I feature all the interviews that I record. And by doing this, I'm just hoping that by listening to other people's thoughts, you know, may trigger some thoughts of our own, explore what we feel about a subject. So let's hear what Larissa and Sam had to say first. Hello, my name is Ruth Coplin from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names and where are you from?
Okay, my name is Larissa and I'm from Brazil.
Okay. My name is Sam and I'm from Boston.
Oh, wow. Are you just visiting?
I am, yes.
Now, I should ask, are you just visiting as well? I assumed you lived here even though you're from Brazil.
Oh, yeah, just visiting.
Visiting too. So, thank you for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week, with the holidays coming up, we're looking at what is the nature nature of a gift. And historically, many tribal groups circulate a large portion of their material wealth as gifts. And a gift is given in the knowledge that it will keep being given and never be stagnant. So when you're given a gift, the idea is that you will eventually give it on to someone else. And obviously, that's not the way our culture works. So I was wondering, what is your approach to giving gifts? Why do you give gifts, if you do?
Well, I was going to say, I'm actually an anthropologist, and we sort of talk about how gifts are imbued with the spirit of the giver. And so I tend to give personalized gifts, gifts that I've made or gifts that have meaning, gifts that are inspired by memories.
Oh, that's fascinating. What about you?
Well, usually when I buy a gift, or I like to make gifts too, but if I don't know the person that well, I try to think what she would like or not. But I usually try to, when I give a gift, to show that I care about that person. That's romantic.
Do you think as a society we think of gifts now pretty much in a material sense, especially at this time of year?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a really cynical outlook. I think that people still try really hard to find gifts that are really imbued with a personal relationship, that reflect like happy times that people have spent together and that are meaningful and that will remind people of good times.
And also, I'm wondering, do you feel that whether gift giving has become largely an obligation, or do you think there's still a lot of joy in giving gifts for people?
If you have like a small kid, if you don't give a gift for a kid on Christmas, that's going to be like the end of the world, right? So I think maybe it's a little bit of false. But I mean, for me, I usually really only give gifts for people that I care. I mean, we don't have like greeting cards in Brazil, so when you give a gift, it's really because you want or you know the person and you have a relationship with the person.
Right. And the fact that these days money buys a lot more things, it matters a lot more if you've got money, particularly at traditional times of gift giving. And I was wondering whether our idea of gift giving being around material things a lot is relegating those with less wealth to a sort of gift exchange wilderness of disappointment. Particularly, I think, when you mentioned about children, there's such a pressure to have certain toys, the way our culture works, that if you can't afford to give your children those toys, there's even perhaps a sense of shame. Or do you have any thoughts on that?
As a kid, I remember that I wanted certain gifts. But I think as you grow older, you understand if your parents can and cannot give you a gift. So, yeah, I think my parents would worry about that, but for example, Christmas is not actually about gifts, right? So, I mean, not for me. It's more right. About spending time with family. So when you're a kid, that's kind of hard to understand. But I think after some time, it really doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I think, I mean, what matters is the intention of the gift, not the gift itself. Like, it doesn't have to be something expensive to be a good gift.
Right. And what about gifts that aren't material? Do you think of things like your time and caring and thoughtfulness? Do you think of those as gifts as well?
I do, yeah. I mean, every year at Christmas, I make ornaments with my family, my mom and my sister, and we put those on the Christmas tree, and I think of those as gifts, and we keep them every year, and we have fun unpacking them and remembering the jokes that we told when we made them. Yeah.
Your family sounds great. I want to come around your house at Christmas. And then finally, I was thinking, if we think of gifts as something, talents or skills that we have, I was wondering what you think of kind of innate gifts as opposed to sort of making something of yourself. Do you think of certain things that we have as just born to us, or do you think we can develop those kind of gifts for ourselves?
I don't know, like what, for example?
I suppose, like, if you have a talent for dancing or art or, you know, sort of skills, do you think of those as gifts, or do you think more of those things as a development of your own
self?
Well, I think that the biggest gift that I've ever gotten was my education. I grew up fairly poor, and I got scholarships to university, both for my undergrad and my master's, and now my PhD. And so I suppose that those were gifts that were given, you know, not only by, like, the federal government through taxpayers, but also through private donors. And I think that that's probably the biggest gift I've ever gotten, and it's made the biggest impact on my life.
Right. Yeah. That's very inspiring. I know I've heard the public service announcements. I don't know if you've heard them, about investing a different kind of stock, investing in children instead. And that's basically what's happened for you. People have invested in you, and it looks like it's paid off, I would say.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for stopping, both of you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Oh, thanks. Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our question that matters this week, what is the nature of a true gift? And thanks to Larissa and Sam there for stopping and talking to me. We're going to go to a break now, but I'll be back with interviews for Out and About after these messages.
Second-generation owner of Bookshop Santa Cruz. We pride ourselves on being Santa Cruz's community bookstore and have been located in the heart of downtown Santa Cruz for over 48 years. We are a one-stop shop for all your holiday needs, including books, gifts, children's books, toys, holiday cards, puzzles, and games. Our knowledgeable booksellers can help you find just the right gift for everyone on your list. If you want something special, we feature mini autograph books by best-selling authors at no extra charge. If you can't get downtown, our website has 3.2 million titles, which ship directly to your home. Come visit us downtown or at our website, bookshopsantacruz.com.
Santa Cruz artist Doreen Davis states, "I become one with the essence of nature. This process puts me in touch with the soul of all living things." Owners of Doreen's beautiful paintings can vouch for this truth. Gazing at a painting by Doreen Davis simultaneously enlivens and soothes the soul. Working predominantly in watercolor, but also in acrylic and oil, Doreen's floral and landscape paintings have appeared in many exhibitions and are in private collections throughout the United States, in England, and in Germany. Her paintings are on display online at DoreenDavis.com. That's DoreenDavis.com. And experience the visual delight of being at one with nature through her paintings.
If you just joined us, you're listening to It's Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And remember, if you ever miss a show or you really like a show that you hear and you want to hear it again, all my shows are podcasted at the show's website, itsaquestionofbalance.com. Well, for questions that matter this week, we're considering, what is the nature of a true gift? And next, I spoke to Karen and Ezra. So let's hear what they had to say. Hello, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names and where are you from?
My name's Karen and I'm from Santa Cruz.
And I'm Ezra. I'm also from Santa Cruz.
Cool. Well, thank you very much for stopping for our Out and About feature this week. And with the holidays coming up, we're looking this week at what is the nature of a gift. And I'm just wondering, what is your approach to giving gifts? Why do you give gifts? What do they mean to you when you give a gift to somebody?
I mean, I think
I don't know about most people, but I feel like some people nowadays, especially in this time, Christmas season, they just do it because it has to be done, you know. Oh, for the kids, they're expecting Christmas gifts this year. But, I mean, I feel like sometimes we miss the point of giving gifts. You know, it's because it's something that comes out of our heart. And we actually want to give something to that person because we care about that person.
Yes.
And I think that's what a gift actually means, you know, to me. Because I want to, like, you know, show my appreciation or my love for a certain person.
Yeah, the same thing. It's obviously the thought that counts, not, you know, the size or the quality of the right. You know, what you buy. And yeah, I think that's what's important about around this time, and just, you know, throughout the year, not just this time.
Right. Do you think that in society now we predominantly think of gifts as material items?
I think, yeah, because, I mean, I work in a department store, and at this time of year, it's always like, oh, you know, she's looking for this specifically, and, you know, like, she wants this, and it has to be this type of model, and it's just kind of like, that's kind of how you see it, like,
yeah.
Just another list on the, or just another item on the list. And it's not, it becomes kind of just an object, like, okay, yeah, okay, I gave it to her, that's good, you know,
yeah.
Check it off my list, rather than something that you're actually, you know, wanting for them, you know, to, like, anticipate, and, you know, more of a surprise, more of a, you know, you put more thought into it.
Yeah. So, do you think, based on that, that gift-giving's become, almost a monetary exchange in a way? It's like, oh, I need this item and this person's gonna buy it for me.
Honestly, yeah, when at this time of year, I do think it's like that. Not for a lot of people, you know, for most, I would say, but there are still people that, you know, see Christmas as a time, you know, to bond with family members, and that's how it should be. But I feel like some people do, you know, and we catch ourselves doing the same thing, kind of wishing like, oh, like, I kind of feel like that person's gonna give me that gift. Okay, thank God, I kind of wanted it, you know.
Right.
So I feel like that's kind of what it is, but, you know, but at the same time, I'd probably say like half and half.
Yeah. Do you agree with that?
I do, yeah, and especially with Black Friday going on and all these things.
Yeah.
I don't know, just society now is just real about consumerism. And I think just the best gift is just being together, you know, as a family and coming together in these days.
Yeah. Something I've noticed also is that, again, not with everybody, but with some people, you find this real concern about, are you going to give a gift of the same value or worth as the gift they're going to give you? Have you come across that?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know when that happens. It almost becomes kind of like a competition. Like, yeah. Okay. Oh, like you gave me this gift. Like, oh, yeah, that's good. You know, and it's kind of like, and especially after the holiday season, you get a bunch of people coming back and, you know, returning stuff and getting better items. And so that kind of, it emphasizes that whole point where people don't really see the gifts as gifts anymore. They're just kind of like, it's kind of like a trade-off. Okay, I don't like, oh, it's fine, just trade it for something else, you know?
Yeah.
And it's more of a, I want this, rather than, oh, you know, this person got this for me, you know, that thought you're thinking about me at this time of year, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. It does seem a bit lost, I think, that, you know, what you were saying initially, that the whole idea of, the joy of receiving a gift is thinking that somebody thought about you and cared enough to spend some time, isn't it? Would you agree with that?
Definitely, yeah. And I don't know, I think just more, it's just giving is more important than receiving.
Yes, I'm also wondering, you say you work in a department store, obviously this time of year, with the consumerism, particularly with children seeing items, it seems to put a lot of pressure on people who have less wealth, you know, which can put them in a sort of place of disappointment and even shame if that, you know, because everything's so commercialized. I'm wondering what you think about that.
I mean, I think it is, it's some in that type of, you know, situation that a person is in, they would feel, you know, they're kind of expected, like, well, you know, especially when it comes to family members, or if you have nieces, nephews, even if you have kids, you know, it's kind of expected, like, I have to get them this gift, and it also becomes, it becomes stressful, and it kind of takes away the whole point of, you know, this time of, you know, year giving.
Yes.
So it's just more of a, like, I have to get them something, you know, and if you can't
afford it, then it just kind of becomes like, you know, you just have to find a way to do it, to get them, you know, yeah. instead of, you know, maybe I can do something more personal, something more handmade or more homemade for them. And maybe just knowing that you are thinking about that person at this time. So now it's just become more of a revolving around money and that whole thing. Yeah. And it's especially when it comes to kids. And, you know, when it comes to kids, it's a really touchy subject because, you know, at this time, you know, when it comes to Santa, they're waiting for that gift. And as a parent, if you can't get it for them, then what, you know, what are you? And some parents think like that, which they shouldn't, but some do. And it becomes really, like, it's a sad time when you can't, you know, afford to get the loved ones what you want to get them.
Yeah.
You know, so.
How do you think we can push back against that kind of commercialism?
That's a tough one, because with everybody, you know, kind of going for the same thing now, I think the way I would do it is just not just focus on this time of year that you are giving, but just like you said, you know, throughout the year, like think of small things to do, you know, for your friends or for your family, whether it's, you know, make something special, a special dinner to bring everybody together, you know, in the middle of May, or just, you know, you out of, you know, the blue decide to get somebody a gift, a, you know, specially wrapped gift for them. And it's not, you know, it's nowhere near Christmas or Thanksgiving, you know, because when it comes to this time, everybody's rushing. Everyone's you know, checking out their lists, and that, I think that's what takes away from the actual, you know, idea of giving, you know, and, you know, putting thought into gifts. So if you do it, you know, not because you have to, not because it's Christmas, if you do it at, you know, at random times when you actually feel like giving and it comes from your heart, then I feel like we will be able to go back to, you know, actually, you know, giving out of our hearts.
Which brings me to one of my last questions, which is, some people think that a true gift is something that's offered freely with no expectation of a return. Would you think, is that how you think of a gift?
Yeah, that's, I don't celebrate Christmas, but I do believe in just giving gifts and not expecting something back, and just, and it doesn't have to be something tangible. It can be an action of, you know, kindness that you do for someone, for a neighbor, for a, you know, a random stranger in the street. And yeah, you shouldn't really expect something back, because then that takes away from the thought of the gift.
Yeah. And I think if you think of gifts in a non-material sense, suddenly you get a lot more of them, I think. That's my experience. I don't know if it's yours. You know, just sort of thinking of, wow, the sun looks so wonderful today and I live by the ocean, and isn't, you know, those can be gifts too, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that, like, for example, that in itself is a gift, and, you know, not necessarily from anybody, but just, you know, you feel that, you know, a certain way, you feel special, that's a gift in itself. And, you know, just the little things that people do, just knowing that people are there for you, you know, especially when you need them the most, when you're going through a tough time, that's a gift. And knowing that those people, you know, go out of their way, you know, to talk to you, to listen to your problems, those are gifts that are free. They don't, you know, but at the same time, they're greatly appreciated, and in my opinion, way more valuable than any, you know, laptop, iPhone, anything that you could possibly get, you know, another person.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for stopping. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland, and our question that matters this week: what is the nature of a true gift? And that was Karen and Ezra, you heard there. So thanks very much to them for stopping and talking to me. I was downtown in Santa Cruz this week getting the interviews. And next, I spoke to Peter. So let's hear what he had to say. Hello, my name is Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What is your name and where are you from?
Good evening, Ruth. It's nice to meet you. My name is Peter Olmos, and I'm from Santa Barbara, California.
Great. You just visiting at the moment?
Yes. Well, coming for a week.
Welcome to Santa Cruz. And thank you for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week, we're looking at what is the nature of a true gift, and historically, Many tribal groups circulate a large portion of their material wealth as gifts, and a gift is given in the knowledge that it will keep being given and never be stagnant. And obviously that's not something really that's in much in Western culture. So I'm just wondering, what is your approach to giving gifts? Why do you give gifts if you do?
That's a good question. My approach is the old approach, because I'm Native, as we had spoke about earlier. And the Native way, which is not just ours, it's an indigenous way of giving gifts, is to give something that's dear to you, as opposed to giving something that the person may desire. And like you had said, it's a gift that does keep on giving, because when we teach this as a gift, received, that I give this to you, something I would cherish myself. It's usually something that is ours that we give to them, something they know that we love. So then I give it to you, and it would be something you would love because it came from me. And for you to give it to somebody then, you know, would be a great gift to them. That's our method.
So the idea is that because it's something of your own that you actually really care about, that the person would know that you really care about them and love them because you've given up something that meant something to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a lovely idea. I'm wondering, do you think that generally now in society we think of gifts as predominantly material items?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's beyond the material item. It even goes to how much did you spend on this item to show me how much you love me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so
there's a lot of pressure, I think, from consumerism and advertising, especially where children are concerned, to give certain gifts. Is that something you are aware of at all?
More than aware of it, it's so clear, it should be so clear, that the media in all forms is an absolute attack on every sense we have to take the things that from us that they feel we should. If everybody had everything we're told we should have at whatever period in life that we are in, there is no possible way every person could have that. We could not all wear that shoe. We could not all wear those jeans and drive that car and live in that area and wear this makeup. And it's just impossible. It's impossible. So the media in all forms comes and tells us, you know, that this is what you must have in order to remain current and competitive is the main one. Competitive from childhood.
Yeah. I was actually reading an article about a re-look at hunter-gatherer societies, which have historically been seen as living in scarcity, and yet the reevaluation has really shown that they lived in affluence but not abundance. They had enough, and that was enough. You know, that's kind of what you're speaking to, is that if your needs are met, then you are affluent. You don't need to go beyond that to have a whole range of things that you don't necessarily need or even want.
I agree, but not completely, because there's a tail to that.
Right.
And that in the original society of natives where I'm from, we did have an upper class. There was a higher class of people. They did have more, and they were well taken care of by the rest of the group, because they took care of the rest of the group with their more.
Right.
But for the main societal peoples, it's exactly as you spoke of. There was enough. There was enough for everyone to have what they needed in that amount, and without forgetting to give back, to keep that balance of getting and giving. We have to give back too in order to receive that equal amount. That's the balance.
Yeah. And something that you spoke about at the beginning, it does seem that people are quite concerned with getting a gift of a similar value to the one they're going to receive, or there'll be some sort of faux pas, you know, committed, rather than just giving something from your spirit and it being accepted in that sense. Is that something you're aware of?
Yes, and I agree with the way you put it. And considering that if we gave and received gifts the way that we had spoken of earlier, no one would feel bad about not being able to return, you know, this equal monetary, I don't know, with societal balance. You know, in society now we're balanced. You spent 50, I spent 50. You know, how about I spend 50 because I have 50, and this other person returns to me and says, here's my favorite teddy bear from childhood, and I want you to have it because I love you like that.
Yes.
You know, yeah. You remind me of my childhood.
Yes.
And I just want us to always be close like that. It would kill his $50.
Yeah.
It would crush it. He would feel bad about only spending 50 because you can't put a price on that.
No, absolutely. How do you think we can push back against this sort of commercialization? I mean, not that I'm saying that having things is wrong or wanting things, but this idea of it gets a bit out of control, especially around the holiday season. Mm-hmm. Is it education, do you think, of young people? Mm-hmm. Or how would you go about pushing back against that?
Well, I would say the first thing is the awareness of it. Will crack is the egg tooth. It'll crack the egg enough to where once we are communally, societally aware of that this is where we are as a society, and that the truth is, it really doesn't matter how much I heap upon you. It's not going to change your heart. It's not going to change your ideology about what is balance, what is right, and what is wrong. I mean, really, do we want to live our lives as pure gatherers of riches and jewels and stuff? Because really, really, having survived cancer recently, you cannot take it with you when you go.
Yes.
There is really no ownership. And if the ownership while we're here is what it takes to make us happy, then we are out of balance in some way. Not to say that money does not bring happiness, but it makes misery better, you know, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
But especially now in this season, I hope that people, because it's really tough. It's really tough. Where we're standing during this interview, I'm watching people who have less than me, which is not a lot. And I forgot where I was going with that.
You said you wanted people to remember in this season.
Yeah, this is the thing, is that speaking of balance, Creator has a great sense of humor. Look at me. Anybody, everybody is susceptible and at risk of being any of these people out here carrying all their belongings down the street.
Yeah.
Really, there's an article of eminent domain going on in my hometown to a place, and I can't think of it right off the top of my head because there's so much going on out here. This is very exciting out here.
Yeah.
But they're just taking it. They are just taking this icon from these people. Mm-hmm. And this can go for any of us.
Yeah.
Look at Enron, how they took all the folks' money. I mean, you wouldn't think that an institution can get away with your money, but they really can.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So we have to, just as a society, really kind of lighten up a little bit. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And if we're running around crazily, you know, what can we do?
Yeah. So. I think one of the other things I was thinking while you were speaking is that a lot about gifts is having the ability to receive them in their fullness, you know, when they're not necessarily material as well. But there's so many things around us, I think, that are gifts if we look at it in that way and we receive them in that way.
You know, what is the show? What is balance?
It's a question of balance.
It's a question of balance. It's amazing that you would bring that up because we were only talking about giving. You're right. You have to be able to receive or there's lack of balance.
Mm.
And yeah, to receive is, it's a dual, it serves a dual purpose. It humbles us to receive anything. And it allows the giver to feel that they've done something, you know, good to make the other person feel good. And it doesn't matter what the gift is. In our teachings, because I was going to ask an elder a question, but I was thinking, I have nothing to give you, elder, is what I was going to tell him. He says, pick me 3 blades of grass, and it's how you bring them to me that is the offering. It's not what you give me.
Yeah. Well, those kind of things are gifts of the spirit, and I think it's easy to forget that we all have, no matter what our financial circumstances, we have that ability to give those things to other people, and often they are the most meaningful things. And to ourselves, I think, you know, that's also, it's important, I think, to be able to accept gifts from the universe for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I agree. There's a lot of people in the universe that are praying for good for the universe.
Mm.
And they're praying for us. They're praying for people like you and I. So when I say my prayers for good for others, I forget sometimes to receive also. So in my prayers, I say, let me open up and receive those good prayers that have been sent for me.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
We're a web of a planet. Every person on this planet is connected to every other person on this planet. You know, we're only one species of, you know, but that's our species. And we all live here together. So the energy we put out, if we all put out positive energy, think of how wonderful we would be as a society.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying we have to wear headbands and robes and stuff like that and om and stuff like that. I just mean in our daily lives, even as bankers and foreclosers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Myself, you know, as a very humble person, you know, and so on down the road.
But I think if we kind of circle back to where we started about gifts in certain cultures being non-stagnant and passing on, I think that if we can think of more of a circle of life, that it's, we don't reach end points, but we're continually sort of moving and sharing and growing as a humanity, that also is the way the gift can move around. Would you think?
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
Yeah.
We undulate. I agree.
Well, thank you so much for stopping. I really appreciate
it. It was a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. And this week, we're discussing this hour, what is the nature of a true gift? We're going to a break now, but I'll be back with another interview for Out and About after these messages.
Hi, this is Jackie from Integrity Event Planning. Are you coordinating an event? Don't know how you'll get it all done? Stop sweating the small stuff. We plan everything from family events to fundraising and corporate events. Contact Integrity Event Planning for your next event. Check out our website, integrityeventplanning.com. Integrity, it's what sets us apart. With 16 years of experience, we negotiate with your bottom line and needs in mind. So sit back and relax and let us serve the champagne. We've got this.
For your next event, visit integrityeventplanning.com. That's integrityeventplanning.com.
Dream, baby, dream.
Do you like the music from It's a Question of Balance with Ruth Copland? Have you ever wondered what the full songs sound like? Now you can find out by listening to the new EP, It's a Question of Balance Music, available from iTunes, Amazon, and itsaquestionofbalance.com. It's a Question of Balance Music. Download individual tracks or the whole EP from iTunes, Amazon, or itsaquestionofbalance.com.
Welcome back to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copland. I wanted to remind you again that my special guest this week in the second hour of the show is internationally renowned, award-winning filmmaker Nico von Glassau. He's made a very wide range of wonderful films, documentaries and feature films. His first film was Winter Sleepers, I'm sorry, Wedding Guests, and won numerous awards. He went on to make Marie's Song, Winter Sleepers, Edelweiss Pirates, Nobody's Perfect, Lazy Llama, about a Tibetan Buddhist teacher who teaches all around the world, and also My Way to Olympia, which was his film about the 2012 London Paralympics, and another award-winning film, Everything Will Be All Right, which documents the making of a unique live theatre production, which includes mentally and physically disabled actors. So he's made some very interesting films, just fiction and documentary. So looking forward to talking to him. Well, back to our discussion for questions that matter this week. What is the nature of a true gift? With the holidays coming up, gift giving is in the air. An aviator and writer, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, who wrote The Little Prince and lived from 1900 to 1944, said, "In giving, you are throwing a bridge across the chasm of your solitude," which I think is a lovely quote. So giving gifts can be as much a joy for the giver as for the receiver. But I'm wondering, has this simple pleasure been affected by consumerism? Do we now think of gifts predominantly as material items? As we've been hearing in tribal cultures, a gift is given in the knowledge that it will keep being given and never be stagnant, which is not really an idea that exists here in America so much. What would it be like if we thought of gifts in this way, though? St. Francis of Assisi said, "For it is in giving that we receive." But for some of us, this perhaps has become rather literal. Has gift giving become a barter exchange where we try to give gifts of equal value to what we will receive? Why do we give gifts at all? Some reasons might be to express gratitude, to bring someone joy, to express obligation, to garner favor because someone gives us a gift, you know, reciprocation. It's expected by our culture at certain times, or it's expected by certain people. Why do you give gifts, and what is a true gift to you? Well, this is what we're pondering. I went out and about, as usual. We've been hearing the views of the people that I spoke to, and the last people that I interviewed were Matt and Sarah. So let's hear what they have to say. Hi, my name's Ruth Copland from It's a Question of Balance radio show. Thank you for agreeing to being interviewed. What are your names and where are you from?
I'm MJ from Santa Cruz.
Sarah from Santa Cruz. Well, thanks so much for stopping for our Out and About feature. And this week our topic is, what is the nature of a true gift? I'm just wondering what your approach to giving gifts is, why you give gifts, what the significance is to you.
I think the true nature of a gift is finding something for another person that maybe something that kind of connects them to you and you to them. It doesn't have to be expensive, just something that says, hey, you know, I know you, and we just want to make a connection.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I think too much of the holidays is spent trying to invest into large gifts, expensive things that don't necessarily have too much meaning.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how to follow that answer.
You agree?
I completely agree. I find that anything that might connect to a time that you have shared with that person or allows you to spend time with them in the future, sharing the gift is, to me, the most meaningful way to give something.
Yeah. Do you think we think of gifts now as predominantly material items?
We as a society?
Yes, yeah, in America.
Yeah, Yeah, I would agree with that statement. Yeah, I think so.
I was just wondering whether there's also this sort of, particularly this time of year, gift giving's almost become a sort of barter exchange. You know, you feel like, well, I'll give them this and they'll give me this back, and people are worried about whether they're giving something of equal value. Is that something you've come across?
Well, I've experienced that, and it tends to happen more with people that you aren't as close to, and you suddenly find out that there's gifts on the way, and then you get caught up in that obligation feeling. I don't know the right way to respond to that and still feel like I'm not insulting a person. So I don't know how to avoid feeling caught up in that. But I think with people that I'm close to, we don't participate in a sort of matching gifts idea.
Yeah. No. I mean, it seems like, you know, that the idea of gift is something that's offered freely with no expectation of return. And yet there does seem to be this kind of parallel ritual that you're speaking about. It's almost like, I don't know, circling each other of like, you know, are we kind of giving equally to each other, which is about something else, I think. I'm not sure it's about like true gift giving. What do you think?
Well, I think that certainly you shouldn't limit your feeling that you're putting into the gift by a dollar amount. You know, if in fact it is something that you feel is well deserved, you know, go ahead and, you know, spend a little bit more. I do feel like there is a little bit of pressure when I do, you know, when I feel like I'm going to receive a gift that's of maybe a larger value than what I was expecting. I feel like maybe I needed to at least match that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just upbringing, you know, and I think that a lot of that has to do with marketing, media, advertising, and which has really just gotten too carried away around the holidays. You know, the holidays aren't really so much as gift giving anymore as they're just spending money. You know, trying to maybe look impressive rather than, you know, looking at the real meaning of the holidays.
Yeah.
You know, getting together with the people that you know and love.
Yeah. Some of it, I wonder, is that we have so much less time to give a gift that's really meaningful in a non-monetary way. Takes a lot more time because you have to really think about it. You have to think about what that person likes, what might make them happy, and then perhaps make something or find something or organize something. And do you think that might be part of why we've got to this sort of place?
I think that's part of it, because there is always going to be a person that you would like to get a gift for, and if you're feeling obligated but no gift happens to be springing to mind, we're sort of stuck. And it would take a lot to back yourself completely out of that and present an alternative idea and to have that idea be received by the person you're giving it to. It would probably take some discussion with that person and being sure about maybe waiting until you had a gift that made sense. I don't know, maybe in March.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
In tribal cultures, a lot of tribal cultures, they circulate a large portion of their material wealth as gifts. And a gift is given in the knowledge that it will keep being given. It won't be stagnant. Is that an idea you think you could get behind, this idea of a continually moving gift that sort of keeps giving through a community?
You know, it brings to mind the idea of the community bicycle, the yellow bike programs that I've heard of, and I don't know that we've had them successfully here in this town. I think they might have been tried, but basically a bike that you ride it and you park it, you're done with it, someone else comes along, rides it, leaves it where they're done.
Really?
Yeah, so... I love that idea, and I think it makes people feel like they're a part of something and that their community gave them what they needed at that exact opportune moment. So I think we kind of have that in some ways still. Yeah.
And do you think we think of gifts at all, you know, our time, caring, thoughtfulness, do those feel like gifts to you that you can give people also?
Sure, of course, you could volunteer your time to somebody, and as long as it's in a meaningful way and somebody, you know, that person is gaining from it, I think that's completely valid. I would definitely take anybody up on their offer to help me do something, you know, around the house. Maybe it's yard work or maybe, just anything. I mean, yeah. Sure. I'm not limited to thinking about gifts as being material. Mm. You know, a gift is anything that's given with the right intention.
Yeah.
I have to speak up because my husband is being very humble. He he gives people those kinds of gifts all the time. Aww. You know, he's a skilled auto technician, and he's stopped to see a person who's, you know, just in a gas station with the hood up, and he knows that car, and he'll stop and get them on their way so they make their dinner plans. Aww. So he gives those kinds of gifts all the time, and I think those are the things where it's like he had a skill that he's spent, you know, most of his life perfecting, and not just anyone could have stopped and solved that problem for that person, but he happened to be there and he knew that he could, and it ended up being a great gift to that person.
Yeah.
And I think that's a little bit what you were talking about with the community, the tribal giving that just keeps going around.
Yes.
It becomes a little more like honing in on what we're all good at and what we all have to offer, as opposed to something that we could just go spend money on.
Yeah. And I think it reminded me of when you saying that, of certainly in Britain during World War II, there was this a tremendous community, everybody pulling together, everybody sort of helping each other. And it seems like we sometimes need extreme circumstances to do that. But that idea of thinking of what do we all have to offer and what could we give other people and how fun it is to give, it would be great if we could have that, you know, happening more, I think.
Yes, absolutely. I would definitely
agree. Yes, give more chocolate chip cookies. I'm not sure that keeps on giving, but, you know.
Anyway, well, I really appreciate you stopping and sharing your thoughts. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great questions. I enjoyed the opportunity to think about that in more depth.
Great. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copeland. And I hope you've enjoyed this week's topic. It's given you some food for thought and maybe inspired your gift giving as we move forward into this holiday season for those of us that do give gifts at this time of year. It's maybe going to give us some pause for thought about what we give, and also for the rest of the year too, and how we think about gifts in general and whether they do need to be just material and what we have to offer that isn't material. And I think a lot of that comes down to time, and of course that's what increasingly all of us have so little of, so that's something to ponder on as well, how we can make a bit more time and space in our life in order to be able to give those kind of non-material gifts to others and also to ourselves. I think it's also important for everybody at this time of year, which can get very stressful, to think about giving gifts to themselves too, a bit of gifts of rest and rejuvenation and peace and calm and being together with friends and family. Just to remind you, my special guest from the arts this week is internationally renowned award-winning filmmaker Nico von Glazau. He's made a wonderful range of films, including some films about disability. He is a victim of thalidomide, and he has made a wonderful film, Nobody's Perfect, specifically about that. He's also a wonderful photographer, and he adapts his methods as a director to his photography, arranging people and situations to portray conceptually their personalities and unique characteristics. And his film about thalidomide, Nobody's Perfect, was also accompanied by a calendar and a book, and the photographs were exhibited all around the world, including at the National Portrait Gallery in London. So I'm really looking forward to talking to Nico about both his filmmaking and his photographic work. So again, you're listening to It's a Question of Balance with me, Ruth Copeland, on KSCO AM 1080 Santa Cruz and KOMY AM 1340 Watsonville. See you after the news.